Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. To our friends on YouTube and in Facebook on the Omega Radio page, welcome to our live video stream. And to all of you on Blog Talk Radio, God bless you. And on omegaradio.org, welcome to the broadcast. It's Monday, and the day has opened with the same conversation that we've had in the last couple of weeks about the coronavirus and masks being sold to too many people, and the government saying, hey, slow down a little bit. We need the mask for ourselves. I don't know. I think that's kind of ironic. I don't know why I think that's so ironic, but it's interesting to hear government officials saying, listen, we need the masks. You guys don't have to worry about anything. We're the ones that need the masks. And I've been hearing for years, I wonder if the government is really going to take care of the people when things go south. We've heard so many different stories about that, but it's good for you to have some masks for any particular situation. Why not have a 3-day pack in your car, right? We've been advocates of this for many years, that when you're driving down the road, the security of knowing that in your trunk, you have a 3-day pack that has food and whistles and water and clothing, warm and hot, some resources to get around and all kinds of neat stuff. We actually built these bags back in San Diego, California, about 15 years ago or so. And we're working with the fire department, and we had fire chiefs from San Diego that would come to our conferences and let people know it's a good idea to do it. And I think it's even a better idea now. We're not selling any 3-day packs. What we advocate is that you go on a shopping trip with your family or your loved ones. And you go and you have a list of everything you want to get. And God forbid you break down on the freeway, something goes bad, you need to strap something on your back, and you could get from point A to point B a lot easier rather than not having anything. And so we advocate going on a little shopping trip, go to a place where things aren't so expensive, and get a what they call a bug out bag. Now, the 3-day pack you could throw in your car because you spend a lot of time in your car. You also could have at home what they call a bug out bag. And what is that? What we were told for years is that you should have copies of your driver's license. You should have copies of your birth certificate, your social security card, and every other important document for ownership of your home or your vehicle or whatever you have. You should have all your records photocopied and put in plastic so they're water resistant and put away. in your bug out bag, along with whatever you would have, say 60 minutes, maybe less, say 30 minutes, where you would have to get up in the middle of the night and you'd have to get yourself or your family in a vehicle that you have prepared to go. And all they needed to do at that moment, like a fire in the house, right? I mean, the fire, God forbid, goes, and you have to be able to take things and secure them and get ready to go in your little bug out bag. There's nothing wrong with that kind of preparation. It does not advocate fear. It does not create panic. In fact, what it does is eliminates fear and eliminates panic. People normally panic because they don't have things prepared, and so they're running around trying to get things accomplished. So how do you want to spend your days, you know, preparing? And then when you're prepared, go live an abundant life. Nobody is suggesting that you at this moment are not living an abundant life. And maybe you're a missionary. Maybe you're an evangelist. Maybe you're to be a preacher. You don't stop doing what God called you to do. You work while there is light, because the nighttime will come and no man will be able to work. It'll just be impossible. But if there are things you could be doing right now to live your life in a way that's honoring the King, and that the grace of God that's been given to you to walk in the fearless confidence and bold as lions, the righteous are as bold as lions, well, then do it. But to prepare is wise. It's only wisdom to have your three-day pack in your car, to have your bug-out bag at home, and so you, at an alarming moment, know exactly where to go and what to throw into the back of your pickup truck or your trunk or your car or whatever, and be on your way to a place you've already mapped out. Do you have a gathering place? I mean, if things went south in your neighborhood, do you know where to go? I mean, have you mapped out? Are you going to go to a hotel somewhere? Well, what happens if this, that, or the other thing? Have a plan, in other words, regardless. You know, someone mentioned, I think it was Bill Mayer, the guy, I mean, he's just an HBO television host, and he's a far left Democrat. And unfortunately, the guy just grew up in the wrong neighborhood, because he can't speak without a four-letter word coming out of his mouth. And he's very hostile in that sense. But he is, you know, suggesting that Donald J. Trump is going to declare martial law. And normally, when the Republicans were saying that Obama was going to declare martial law because things weren't going his way, that never happened. And so now you have the left shouting that Trump is going to declare martial law. However, we are in a season where they're playing a card, it appears. A dear friend of mine, Phil, who comes to our church, gave us a piece of paper that we were looking at. And he researched the issue that from 2004, 2008, 2012, 2016 election years, there were different flus, the avian flu, there was SARS, and he named all of them, and they weren't just those years. There was a 2010, there was a 2006, I think, and a 2014 maybe even, but every election year, there was some kind of a scare going on in society. I love the way that President Trump is handling this right now. I do. I mean, the left wants to use it for a political battering ram, right? But he's handling it so well, just saying, you know, whatever happens, we're ready. If it comes, it comes. But we're not going to panic people. And so another person dies overnight. So now you have two people dead, and you have so many cases in the United States. And you have top-level officials in Iran that just died of this particular flu, and you see it running around. So the potential threat is there. And so why not prepare? But it's not just a flu bug or some virus that we are preparing for, even though that could be used. And it's very interesting that they're saying that if you're healthy, you really don't have to worry about this particular virus, because what it's doing is killing off people that are having health issues. One of the things we have advocated for years is keep your body healthy. Keep yourself away from too much sugar. Don't allow diabetes to get into your body. Don't allow deterioration. Keep yourself healthy and active, and keep yourself in your mind on things of God, which is the most positive thing in the world. So as far as a positive mindset or a positive outlook in life, regardless of what we know is around and about us, we have this access into the glory of God, that regardless of what happens to us in this world, we have eternal life in the Holy Spirit. And most likely, the Holy Spirit for people that are really going after the Holy Spirit and wanting to be led by the Spirit and are obeying the Holy Spirit and their conscience being pricked about things they can or cannot do and they're doing the right thing, well, most likely you're going to be guided right through this moment. You're going to walk and you're going to endure unto the end because it's not just bird flu or other flus that are coming. There's wars. There's rumors of wars. There's panic, fearful sights, signs and wonders all around. There's pestilences of every kind. There's plagues of every kind. There's commotions of every kind, instability, unstable times, financial collapses. I mean, everything that the world is resting on, the foundation of the world is a shaky foundation. There's no doubt about it. That's why we see kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. So to build your life on the foundation of the system of the world is a very foolish thing to do anyways. And for those of you who are born again, you're in the world, but you're not of it. So you could use it, just don't abuse it. In other words, don't depend on it. Always depend on the kingdom of God, kingdom resources. God knows how to get what you need to you. If your name is Elijah and you're out in the wilderness, he'll send the ravens to make sure that you have food and water. Regardless, if you're the nation of Israel and you're in the wilderness, he'll send manna from heaven. He'll even send a bunch of quail if you get out of line and just keep complaining. He'll overload you till it's coming out your nose. In other words, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. And we know that he'll even give you water out of a rock. But Moses, don't get angry at the people and strike the rock. It won't go well with you. So leadership in the last days is not going to be easy, whether you're a leader of your home or just your church, you're a community of believers. It's not going to be easy. Nobody said it would be easy, but for those that are actually going to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now, they've obviously paid a price and have allowed the Holy Spirit to shape their character to such a degree that it won't be nearly as bad as it will be for those who have not been sanctified by the faith and by grace and by the love of Christ and the blood of the Lamb. So we're talking about major preparations and preparing for the time that we will enter into the ark and the door will shut and we're going to be together. Maybe it'll be you and your spouse. Maybe it'll be you and your three children. Maybe it'll be with you and your employees or people you work with and you just can't get out of the office safely. Who knows where people are going to be? I believe that God is preparing places of refuge, and I believe that there are people that are getting well planned and situated, and we need some further planning, and we need to do some further things in our preparation. So let us not delay. We just kind of wait, and as God provides resources, we continue to do. But one of the things that I think are very important that we just found out, a pretty expensive lesson, quite frankly. Many years ago, we purchased some 25-year shelf life food. I'm talking probably maybe 10 years ago. And we had it put away, and we found out that the Mylar bagging was not as good as it was supposed to be, and we lost about 300 meals of food. And I think part of the problem there is the second law of thermodynamics. Remember the second law of thermodynamics. That means that everything in the created universe, whatever exists, is wearing down. From the moment you drive that brand new car off the lot, you know the value of that car goes down exponentially. And so everything in the created universe is wearing down. You ask a housewife, if she doesn't do the dishes for 30 days, what is her kitchen going to look like? What is your bedroom going to look like if you don't clean it? What is your toilet going to look like? What are your drawers going to look like, your closet? You know, what is your car going to look like if you don't keep it up? The second law of thermodynamics is everything in the created universe is wearing down, and we are to maintain the things that God has given us. If you don't mow the lawn, if you don't, you know, manicure things, if you don't take care of, this, that, or the other thing, it'll wear down. It'll be consumed. It'll wax old and it will die. Now, it's awesome that the universe, according to Hebrews, all things are upheld by the word of God. So God's word is literally holding all things created together. But on earth, he gives man the responsibility to be the cultivators and the gardeners, if you will. We have been given a planet that we are supposed to be taking care of, and God takes that very seriously, and that's why several times we read about the earth vomiting out the inhabitants, or in the last days, God destroying those who destroy the earth. And so we are cultivators. We are here. God put Adam in a garden and told him to work the garden, okay? So that's what we were designed to do. And don't just get something ready, put it away, and never visit it. Don't not you know, forsake visiting it. Before you know it, things could begin to happen, and you're just there are repairs. There is upkeep. And so be diligent, even about your three-year bag. When's the last time you checked out your bug-out bag? When's the last time you thought, well, gee, I don't have my driver's license duplicated and in plastic. I don't have my birth certificate. I don't have any, you know, extra pieces of silver or resources in my bag. I don't have fresh bullets if you're going to be carrying a little handgun for that reason. Or I haven't checked out my filter in my water bottle. When's the last time you checked out the things that you prepared years ago? I think it's really important to do that. The gasoline that you store, is it still good gasoline? Is it worthy keeping around? Did you put the additives in? And if you did, how long will that sustain your gasoline? See, this is being responsible. And when we kind of neglect that responsibility, we will pay a price. And thank God there are, you know, the lessons we learn are not as expensive as they could be. And so, again, keep your car, keep the oil in your car, right? Keep good gas in your car. Make sure you check your spark plugs. Go for a tune-up once in a while. Why do you do that? Because you want your vehicle to maintain a good running vehicle. And that goes with your body. If you're just shoving down all the Coca-Cola and the ding-dongs and the cupcakes and all the sweets, and, you know, you continue to justify that, but then you don't go and counterbalance that with something of exercise and, you know, just once in a while, understand the deadly poison in sugar. Understand it. I'm not saying don't ever eat it again. There's too many good bakers in our fellowship to never eat it again, but balance it out. Make sure you eat a lot of good fruit and healthy foods. Make sure you're not eating junk food or food that's been depleted of all the vitamins or nutrition. You want to make sure that you're just living your life responsibly before God, bringing Christ into the equation of everything. He's the author, the finisher, the foundation, and the head of all things concerning your life. So this is just how we're starting our broadcast, 17 minutes into it today. So once again, I want to read some scriptures to you so that you're not taken off guard. And I don't think anybody that listens to this radio broadcast should be surprised or should be caught off guard about things that are going to come suddenly. We have preached, along with many others in the world, that the suddenlies will come on this earth, that suddenly it'll be a snare, suddenly it'll be a trap, suddenly devastation will come, suddenly destruction will come. But those suddenlies should not have any impact or authority over your life. Those suddenly moments should not take you by surprise. Okay, so Jesus put it this way. I want to go and read a few verses about this phrase, okay? The days will come. If you'll just write that down somewhere, put it in your memory, the days will come. The days will come. So Matthew 9:15, and Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Jesus was warning that a time would come that the days will come that the bridegroom would be taken away from them. While he was with them, there was no reason to fast. There was no reason to pray. Not to pray, but there was no reason to conduct your lifestyle in a particular way. They were rejoicing with the bridegroom. They were with him. He was with them. They were moving about and seeing miracles, signs, and wonders. But he does say the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Mark 2:20, the same thing was said. The days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. So understand what Jesus is saying, that the days will come, something that we've been used to, something we've rested in, something we've relied upon, will not be there for a season. And that is to cause a quickening of a more serious manner of life. Okay, they're going to begin to fast. They're going to begin to, you know, react to his departure for a season in a particular way. And so don't assume that everything the way it is today is going to be here tomorrow. Thank God for everything that is good in your life. The challenges that you have, that we have, let's thank God for them. Let's understand that God is in sovereign control of our lives, but let us not be caught off guard when things aren't there anymore, because the things in and of themselves are not what we're to be resting our lives upon anyways, whether it's a person, whether it's a ministry, whether it's a family member, whether it's a house, a car, money in the bank, whatever the case may be. Just understand that there are certain things that God gives to his people, and then he removes those things. I mean, Israel's a great example of what that means. I mean, they would go from one place to another. They would settle down. God would take care of them. Then it was time to get up and go away, because something would come. Something would remove from them, or they would remove from it, and their journey would go on. So don't ever be surprised, because the days will come. But now in Luke 5:35, he says the same thing again. So this is a good lesson. Luke 5:35, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. I think that's very interesting concerning that. But Luke 17, and he said unto the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. So something is going to happen where there's going to be somewhat of an eclipse, and they're just going to long for light to shine. You know, you ever have a long winter where the skies are just dark, the sun doesn't shine, and it just kind of gets in that manner, and it's maybe always rainy or whatever the thing is? That could be a very depressive state. And when the sunshine comes out, all of a sudden you're like, wow, there's sun up there and how beautiful that is. Well, the days that are coming upon the earth are going to be very dark days. We were told that. And there will be, even within the camp of God, people, saints of God, they're going to wish for a sunny day, if you will. And then the final scripture that I found in the New Testament concerning the days will come is Luke 21:6. As for these things which you behold, the days will come, in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Okay, the days will come when everything you see, everything that's together, everything that's compacted, everything that people have labored for to build will no longer exist. Systems, economies, whatever it is, they won't exist. And Jesus says those days will come. And when we read the scripture, we could say things like, well, the days will come when the Antichrist will walk upon this earth in fury for 3.5 years, and he will make war with everything that is called God. He will make war with those who keep the commandments of God and those who have the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could say those days will come. The days will come in Revelation chapter 8, 9, where the trumpets will sound, and we will see all kinds of impacts taking place all over the world. We will say the days will come. Some are already saying these days have begun, of the beginning of sorrows, with the release of the four horsemen of the quote-unquote apocalypse. They are the four horsemen of the Revelation, no doubt about it. Many say that those horses have left the gate and they will ride to the very end. The days will come. The days will come when we will see Jerusalem trodden down. The days will come when we will see all kinds of adverse events, a beast rising out of the sea, men taking the mark of the beast, the world being forced into worship, and yet the same world worshiping the dragon, the beast, the devil, and those who don't having a target on their backs. The days will come when you're in your ark, where you're going to wish, maybe like Noah, when he was in the ark for what, a year? He was in there for a year, and maybe he or his sons or his daughter-in-laws or his wife, maybe they just long for a day for that ark to open, to get outside of that ark and to walk again on earth. I mean, you know, they were longing for a day. And I don't believe that the 3.5 year great tribulation is going to be a day where we're just going to be wandering, going shopping at the mall. I believe those could be some pretty difficult days, and they're going to test our faith, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. You know, even though God gave provision to the Israelites, he provided food out of heaven, water out of a rock. He provided everything, a cloud by day, fire by night. They still complained and murmured and grumbled. They didn't like their circumstances. It wasn't what they were used to. They even wanted to go back into Egypt. Well, understand that even though God's protection and God's provision will be for his people, not all people are going to be okay with that. I mean, you've heard of Korah's rebellion, where people are going to start making, you know, comments about, you know, godly authority and who are you, Moses, kind of thing. There are things that will happen in the wilderness, and I believe that the Old Testament is a good sign of what that actually means. Now, speaking of the wilderness, we're getting very close to Passover. Actually, this month, March 26th, will be the first day of the first month of a brand new year, where really in the economy of God's calendar, 5780 will actually commence, and then there's conversation around that number as well. But we're coming to Passover, the time when God's people went out of Egypt into the wilderness. And isn't it interesting that right now we're dealing with biblical plagues like locust invasion, coronavirus, fires all over the place. Earthquakes, famines, pests, everything that has been written in the Word of God is taking place before our eyes. Do you know that things have accelerated so quickly? I haven't been able to keep up with them. It has happened so fast. And so when I go back and I study and I look at all the different news agencies of what's going on, it's absolutely accelerated beyond my personal ability to keep researching it out, because we're not just on radio. We are also pastors, and we also have a life that we live in counsel and doing other things. So it's not just, you know, constant study of looking what's happening here. And yet things are happening so fast. So when you get out there and you start listening to everything that people are talking about. Now, one of the things I've learned in my life is to not jump on every bandwagon and not to become a, you know, the sky is falling type of individual. I'm watching carefully. I tell you what I'm watching right now. And maybe you could recall this, and maybe you'll remember this. And I hope someone does. Several months ago, I shared on radio, both Kerm Radio, AM, FM radio, and on this radio broadcast, a dream that I had. And in my dream, I dreamed that Joe Biden had won the election. And yet, when I was looking at him in my dream, he was very unnerved. He was very cautious, like he had just inherited the greatest problem the world had ever known as an American president. And I had that dream, and then I told it, and I said, man, I hope that wasn't a dream, but a nightmare that won't come true. And I'm watching right now what's going on with Joe Biden. I just saw a clip of him yesterday for his challenge to go toe-to-toe with the president, and at the end of his line, he said, we'll see who's sleepy. So I'm not sure where things are going. Peter Buttigieg just kind of popped out of the race, you know, thank God, and Bernie Sanders and all the other people that were slamming him are now cajoling him because they want all the voters that were going to vote for him to come into their campaign. Hypocrisy is what that's all about. But anyways, this is something that I'm watching because, you know, what would develop for something like that to happen? I'm not saying Joe Biden's going to win the election. What I am saying is I had a dream that he did, and it wasn't a great victory. It wasn't thrilling. It was disturbing, and Joe himself was deeply disturbed. What does that mean? We've had some indications, both Patricia and I, going back for 2 years now. We've had indications about things taking place, particularly with me, the Amos chapter 8 prophecy. Preached on that in the beginning of spring last year. And as we were going through and witnessing and watching, the idea came into my mind, which I mentioned on radio, that this may be for the election year 2020 being the pivotal year. So that's a possibility. But we have both felt April would be a very interesting time. And I believe that personally, what I believe is the month of April potentially is a month that we're going to see an uptick in something that's going to accelerate things moving forward. And again, I'm just kind of looking at things going on in the world and wondering, when will the ecclesia go into the wilderness? Because the Bible says we are going into the wilderness. Now, a large portion of the church today believes that they're not going into the wilderness. They're going to heaven in a pre-tribulational rapture. And what's interesting about the pre-tribulational rapture idea is that everybody in that camp is believing this is the time for it. So what's interesting about that is believers everywhere around the world, crossing the denominational influences and crossing theological or eschatological end time views, everybody's basically agreeing we're ready for something. The only difference is if there's not a pre-tribulational rapture, what people will actually be facing if there is a pre-tribulation or if this timing of the Antichrist to come, because that's what pre-tribulational rapture teachers preach, that before the Antichrist comes, before these negative things come, we're going to be out of here. But if those things do come and we're not out of here, well, what will happen is the overcoming church will go into the wilderness. And then others, the majority of people, will face everything that is going to be part of that great tribulation. And that's where we know people's love will wax cold. People will hate one another, betray one another. Crazy things will begin to happen. And the great apostasy spoken of in Scripture will take place. So we're taking heed. We're not trying to make things up. We have a sense. I personally have a sense that we have been on a clock, and many things that we have spoken in time past have been fulfilled. Some things have been delayed. Other things just didn't happen. We get that. But in our growing, in our learning, and looking at the window constantly through the Word of God and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal things to us and seeking the Word of God, I do believe it's potentially possible that between April 3rd and April 5th, there could be something that's going to accelerate. Now, what would that be? Would it be an explosion of the coronavirus? Would it be an explosion? And I was saying earlier that this thing is basically attacking people that don't have good health. Is that some kind of a man-made weaponized virus that is to kill off the population for population control? Everybody should be at least considering that possibility, where Bill Gates said about 10 million Americans will probably be affected by this particular virus. The potential for 10 million deaths in the United States alone is what Bill Gates has said. And other scientists have brought the number exponentially. And again, we study the idea of the globalist is to keep the population down to about a half a billion people. And that's a kill off of about 7 billion at this point. I mean, will the plagues, will the wars, will all the different things that are spoken of in the book of Revelation create that kind of an environment? I don't know. But I know a lot of people are going somewhere. And either you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. And you're going to paradise or you're going into a place called the lake of fire eventually if you're not born again and saved. People are dying everywhere. And we don't look at death anymore the way we used to. Used to be when somebody died, it was a tragedy. A tragedy. Today, you could have collective death and you watch movies like The Walking Dead or murder movies. And, you know, we've become numb, comfortably numb to the death and the collateral damage that's being taken underway in all over the world. So what will we see? Will we see the Psalm 91, 1,000 fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand? How will we respond to see 10,000 people fall dead at our right hand? What kind of kill off is coming upon the world stage? I used to think it was absolutely impossible that there would be some global elite, some hierarchy of global world rulers that would ever do anything like destroy the Twin Towers on 9/11/2001 to advance their cause. I thought to myself, who in their mind could actually kill 3,000 citizens, 2,996 citizens, on 9/11 to advance a cause? In other words, you have to eliminate some people for the greater cause. It's always about the greater cause. And I thought, well, whatever the greater cause is, whoever gave anybody permission to kill somebody for the greater cause? And when your governments and people like this begin to do stuff like that, it's unthinkable at the beginning. And then you realize that those who are under the control of the spirit of Antichrist or the God of this world or Satan or Lucifer, they don't care one thing about killing. They're the ones that wrote the documents of the NSSM document, the 200-page document from Henry Kissinger that in 1975 was signed into law by Gerald Ford and that has been in operation ever since 1975, which is a population control mandate to keep the population controlled in different parts of the world so that resources would always be available to the lifestyle of the American people. I mean, it was a national security issue. And yet we just ignore this thing that they willingly went into different countries and even implemented plans within our own nation to reduce the population. And now comes a kill-off of those who are dealing with sicknesses in their bodies. And the justification is, well, they're dying anyways, and why overload the system and the medical supplies and the resources to people that have gotten sick? It's Adolf Hitler's, clean things up, get rid of the elderly, get rid of those that are sick. And yet, if it ever came white out into the open that it was that way, of course, there'd be a cry. But it's shifted now. Things are shifting. We're talking about people in the global community that have adopted to these philosophies and these ideas. So we'll see. Regardless, the Bible says, the Word of God says, that these things will happen, that there will be a quarter of the world population, which right now would be 1.5 plus billion, maybe more like 1.75 billion people will die. And then another one third, which would be after the first reduction, another 1.75 billion, which would bring half of the population on the face of the earth in our moment of time would be cut off. I mean, that's what the Bible actually says mathematically, scientifically, spiritually. It's there. It's written in the Word as though God gave us numbers of people that would die. And just like he gave us a number of the time of the Antichrist, 3.5 years, 42 months, 1260 days. He gives us exact times, not just in symbology and say, well, symbolically, there's a 1,000-year millennium, but it's really 2,000 years. No, he gives us direct ideas so that we can understand how to prepare and what to expect and how to view things. So you're talking about living in a world where a quarter and then a third of the population, half of 7 billion people would be 3.5 billion people dead when this prophecy begins, and we have evidence that the prophecy has commenced. So it's not about fear and panic. It's about a reality. It's about a reality. People are dying all over the world. Last year, would they say, I forget the exact number, whether it's 56 million people or 156 million, I have to get the numbers again. Just a lot of people left the planet. And don't you ever step back and say, where's everyone going? Where's everyone going? Our job is to make sure we're heading in the right direction. And then to make sure the people that are under our influence are heading in the right direction. To get people to put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior without zero room for doubt. That you are born again. That you have confessed your sin. That you have repented from your sin. You've turned from it. You're living a new life. You're studying the Word. You're obeying the Word. You're allowing the Word of God and the Spirit of God to create a new environment within you. To understand that there's a new nature on the inside of you. A nature that is designed to be love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, patience, self-control. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is the divine nature. That is the character of Christ. And that is growing up, and you're seeing evidence and you're seeing fruit in your life that you are changing from an angry, wrathful, jealous, envious person to a loving, kind, gentle. And you're allowing that work to go on. You're cooperating on purpose. You're cooperating on purpose. You're yielding. You're taking up your cross. You're dying to the old nature every day. Fear is not a part of your reality. Panic is not a part of your reality. Worry is not a part of your reality, because if it is, then you have to stop back and say, Jesus walked in fear. Jesus walked in worry. Jesus walked in anxiety. Jesus was out of peace. That he did not. You and I are to live like he lived. He wasn't panicked over anything, over the Roman Empire, the things that were coming, the storm at sea. He was sleeping, and he got up and rebuked it and said, why are you guys bothering me? Why are you guys bothering me? Why don't you use your faith He didn't worry about anything. He feared nothing. He panicked over nothing. The only time we see a hesitation of concern in him, vulnerability, was in the garden when he was sweating, as it were, droplets of blood because he needed to drink a cup, which was to take the sin of the whole world on him, that he would be the slaughtered Lamb of God. I mean, that was probably the heaviest thing, that he knew the consequences of sin were going to visit him, and not his own, but the sins of every living human being from Adam to the last person on planet Earth. He's taking it all on himself. And the consequence of the separation from his God, his Father, from the first time ever, the consequences of all sickness and disease in all 39 categories on his body. He took this coronavirus on him. He took it all on him. Everything, AIDS, HIV, you name it, it's on him. And when he's being decrepit, they said that you could not recognize him on the cross, that he was literal hamburger meat. And that's when they were ripping his body and ripping his beard. And you couldn't recognize, you couldn't see the disease. It was in his blood. It was on him. And when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, "Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me." He didn't want that. That was the only time we saw Jesus sweating drops of blood. It's a scientific reality in World War II that when the bombs were dropping, there were citizens in Germany that began to sweat blood. Scientifically, medically, it happened. It's true. It's such intense inward pressure for things that are going on. And yes, Jesus felt that. And then he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Jesus does not walk in fear. Jesus does not get panicked. Jesus does not worry. Jesus did one thing. He obeyed his Father. He kept his mind, his eyes, his spirit on his Father. He was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness at the beginning of his ministry and to the cross at the end of his ministry. Jesus allowed the Holy Spirit to lead him and guide him. Now, those who are led by the Spirit of God, Romans chapter 8, are the sons and daughters of God. If we are not led by the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, then how could we be mature huios, sons of God? We're all the children of God if we're born again, but the mature sons and daughters are those that have the understanding of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit could tell them to do anything, and they will do it. They don't get into reasoning. "Oh, God would never tell me to do that. God wouldn't tell me to give that. God wouldn't tell me to go there. God wouldn't tell me to say that." They hear it, but they're wrestling with it. They're still babes. They're still immature. The quick obedience of the sons of God, the huios, is to hear the Holy Spirit, know it's the Holy Spirit, and do it without allowing the reasoning mind that was in the Garden of Eden. "Hath God really said?" Yes, God really said, so don't pervert it, do it. This is what I believe is what is going to matter in the last days, to be led by the Holy Spirit, not doing anything but by the Spirit's leading. Nothing, not even going to work, if the Holy Spirit quickens you not to go to work. But you've been trained, and "I've got to be responsible, I've got to do this." If the Holy Spirit tells you not to go, you don't go. 9/11, 2001, we heard stories of people that were told that morning, "Stay home." And they stayed home because they were led by the Holy Spirit. And they didn't get caught in the conflagration of 9/11, 2001. It's important to be led by the Holy Spirit. How do you learn to be led by the Holy Spirit? Well, you have to know the Word of God, because the Word and the Spirit are one. Know and understand by faith that the very first gift that God gave you beyond your salvation and through the blood of Christ and your faith in Jesus and receiving him, the first equipping that he gave you and I is the Holy Spirit. So you know that you have the Holy Spirit. Now, have you learned to hear his voice? Have you learned to be led by him? That could take a lifetime for some people, right? But the sooner we get it, the better off we're going to be. The sooner we yield our lives. You see, if we're going to hold anything back for us, then it's going to make it very difficult to be led by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will lead us into things that we're not comfortable with. So, a life, you have to know that the Holy Spirit is in you. Now what you do is you start to read the Bible. You read the Bible, all of it, particularly the New Covenant, because that's sealed in blood. That's the covenant that you and I have been brought into. But we learn from all Scripture. 1 Corinthians 10, that's very clear. So read the Bible. Why? Because the Bible will connect with the Holy Spirit. Because again, the Spirit and the Word are one. The Holy Spirit's not going to tell you something goofy out there apart from the Word of God. You will always know the nature of the Spirit by knowing the nature of the Word. And so ask the Holy Spirit to teach you the Word. Now you're developing a relationship. I don't want to just read, because you know and I know we could get into seasons in our lives where we pick up the Bible and read, and we're not even asking the Holy Spirit anymore, what do you want me to see? Teach me what I'm going to read. And then just open the Word up and let the Spirit of God teach you. Sometimes we just read it and we're just, you know, not getting anything out of it. You know, a little word here and then we fold it up. Listen, read the Bible. Read the Bible. If you spend a lot of time listening to the programs like these, make sure you spend quality time reading your Bible. Shut the door. Go into prayer. Open the Word. God, I want to pray this Word. I want to sing this Word. Have you ever just sang the Scriptures? Have you ever just opened up the Word and started singing the Word of God? That's beautiful, because you're allowing Spirit to move with you now. Sing the Word. Read the Word. Prophesy the Word, preach the Word, receive the Word, and the Holy Spirit will begin to work, and you'll develop a relationship, and you'll know. The Holy Spirit will say, you know, the Scripture you read last month, He's going to quick it to you and say, this is what you need to do right now. Imperative for the times we're living in. And that Holy Spirit that you have, do you believe in Jesus? Remember what Paul asked those 12 guys? He says, hey, have you guys received the Holy Spirit since you believed? They said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. But they believed in the preaching of John to receive the Messiah. And they believed in Jesus Christ. And that was great. Apollos was a mighty preacher, but he didn't know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So you could be a mighty preacher without the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is the seal. The Holy Spirit is the intuitive intelligence of God. The Holy Spirit, I mean, you could pick up a Bible and have a motivational speaker gift and preach the Word, but it's the Holy Spirit that gives the unction. The Holy Spirit that's the anointed Word of God that breaks the yoke. The anointed Word of God that drives out demons. The anointed Word of God that raises the dead. The anointed Word of God that heals the sick. The anointed Word of God that gives direction and inspiration. The anointed Word of God. That's Holy Spirit and Word. Man, that's powerful stuff right there. And so Paul laid hands on those guys. They received the Holy Spirit. They began to pray in tongues. Do you pray in the Spirit? Do you pray in tongues? The very first gift that the Gentiles got in Acts chapter 10, when the Holy Spirit fell on them while Peter was talking to them, was tongues. They all began to speak in tongues. They got the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit releases gifts. That's 1 Corinthians 12. All these gifts, prophesying, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, laying on of hands, healing the sick, miracles, all these things are coming out of the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the gift. And within that gift are many gifts to the body of Christ. Why is that important? Can you imagine living in the last days, not having a word of knowledge, not having a word of wisdom, having no prophecy, no spiritual tongue and interpretation to give us direct revelation? Can you imagine? No miracles, no healings. Now that's an environment I think most people would want to avoid. So if the teachers have been teaching that the Holy Spirit's no longer active and these things don't exist, and you're not going to have any Holy Spirit influence, boy, you better give me a pre-trib rapture. I got to get out of here. I have to get out of here before this bad stuff comes because I don't have any resources. Holy Spirit doesn't do anything anymore. See, that's the criminal part of the doctrine of cessationism. That's the criminal part of the doctrine of cessationism. So this is where we're running today. And let me just find out where our friends are listening in today. I've got some friends here on the hola from Mexico City, Ruben Victor. Hello, Ruben. Nice to meet you. Mexico ban all planes, he said. Close the Mexico border to America. That's very interesting. And he also says it's a bioweapon created by the Chinese government. Mainstream media is fake news. We, a World Health Organization, are criminals. Ruben, we agree. Ruben Victor from Mexico right now on Facebook or on YouTube. I think he's on YouTube. And Cindy, she's saying she needs to do this, probably referring to getting a 3-day pack and a bug out bag. And that's Cindy. I won't give her last name. But then there's Brett. He's also calling in today saying, thank you for the reminder, Pastor Vincent. We are to be thankful at all times, for the Lord is with us, Emmanuel. God bless you, Brett. So glad to hear from you and Cindy and Ruben. And again, we've got some calls coming in right now I want to take on our Blog Talk Radio. For those of you that would like to call into the broadcast, the number to call is 818-369-0326. And right now I'm going to put my headphones on, and we're going to take our first call coming in from area code 479-855. So 479-855, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well, Pastor Ken Wagner. How are you, sir?
I am blessed, sir. I am blessed. So you hit a chord today, and I really believe it's an important one. And you've heard me use this before, but it's still appropriate. And there's a lot of other illustrations of this word in Isaiah 55 where it says, seek the Lord while he still may be found. Run to him while he is still here. And that's an admonition that occurs multiple times in the scriptures as well. And it's something that we have to be aware of. You know, and the other night I did a teaching down at Joy's house. And because you sparked this in us a number of years ago, where you began to talk about the year. And the year, the first time you did it was 5778. In the Hebrew calendar or the Jewish calendar, I'm not sure which one it is. But that particular message, when you look up that meeting on that particular one, the word in Strong's Concordance is bird-like. And We have the admonition to go ahead and get under his covering, as it's illustrated in Psalm 91. And there was an interesting story about that one, too, that I had read about a young mother hen that threw a forest fire, covered her chicks under her wings, which is the same thing as it states in Psalm 91. And the forest rangers were coming out to try and clear any other fires or coals that were burning, and they saw the chick just sitting there. And they touched it with their pole, and it fell over. It was burned to a crisp, but the chicks all ran out from underneath her wings. And that's a great illustration of what God is doing with each and every one of us. But I took it a step further. I looked also at 2019 and 2020 to see what the word had to say about those things in the concordance, Strong's Concordance. That's 5779, 5780. And both of them, it shocked me when I read it. It said to consult, to take advice, counsel together. And 5780 talked about the same thing, and it said consultation. And that spoke to me about amazing that it was 2 years in a row that this occurred. And that says an awful lot to me in that sense, following that. And what we needed to go ahead and do is that we need to counsel on the Bible for what it stands for, what it says, direction to give us guidance. That's what counsel is, really, to keep us out of harm's way. And that's so important to go ahead and do that. And just if you bear with me for 1 second more, the last one was, I looked at 2021 on there in the Old Testament. That's 5781. And this really got me. It said to pack.
To pack your bag. So true.
The pack. And then the King James uses the word depressed. And the different definitions for illness is a burden or a load, as a pack of sorrows. Or a pack, it says also to be pressed or closed to shut, to depart in haste. Wow. That maybe is why we had all the consultation in here. And here comes the pressure. Here comes the end times, just as you've been talking about. And if you follow that down through 2019, 20, and 21, it's absolutely amazing. But back to my original statement on there, seek the Lord while he still may be found. Run to him while he is still here. Your comments.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for bringing that back up, that little numbered Bible study that we did, and how rich that is right now to be consulting in 2019 and 20 and get ready to pack your bags and go out. It's so consistent, and it reminds us that the time will come when we will be told to go out. Don't go back into your house to get your stuff. Go out. And that's absolutely amazing. Pastor Ken, thanks for reminding us of that. Just because of the shortness of time, I want to take another call coming in. Excellent, excellent commentary, my dear brother. God bless you, and I appreciate it so much. All right, let's take our next call coming in from area code 231. You're on the air. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast.
Vincent, hi, it's Kurt. Just wanted to take a quick minute. And
hey,
just appreciate your program. I did send you some information on the messenger service that I use that you have as well. And for your listeners, if they wanted to get updated information, there's a guy who's following the coronavirus quite a bit. And the name of his website is HalTurnerRadioShow.com. So HalTurnerRadioShow.com. So that's one word, .com. And part of it is a subscription service, but most of it is not. So you can just look at the latest updates, and he has really good information. And he did a modeling on there of what the projection would be if, you know, there were 100 cases that were diagnosed in the U.S., and he's supposing there are. And he said by the end of April, it would have encompassed the whole USA. So that's something you might want to think about. That was actually in more of the paid subscription part, but he's from New Jersey, which is kind of interesting. I don't know if he can do all the voice impressions like you can, but
yeah.
Anyway, it's worth checking out, and that's all I had. I just wanted to let you know I appreciate you bringing that topic to the table, because I think it is real relevant. And he's also been covering what's been happening in China, and he actually has said that there were 760 million people in quarantine, and that's 70 cities, and like 500 million deaths already, and they're just not reporting it. They're reporting like 2,000, but that's interesting, because the actual death toll of like influenza over there would be quite high. And 100,000, so they're definitely not quarantining all those people just because of 2,000 deaths. But Iran, on the other hand, if you look at that, that is they have a 15% mortality rate, so that is more of a true statistic. More of one that's being honest and everything. But that's all I had to say for now. Have a good day, and I appreciate your message today. Thank you.
All right, Kurt, thank you for calling in. We appreciate that call. You know, which brings up a point, a very sober point, hearing this morning that there's no travel going into the Europe. You know, they're wanting to slow down travel from Europe into Asia, obviously. So things are basically slowing down, you know, in travel. And it reminds me of somewhat of a prophetic vision dream we had many years ago, that the days would come that the borders of America would be shut down. This is in context with the electromagnetic pulse that hit this nation. And this was about 28 years ago, that in part of this dream, the military powers of the United States shut down the United States. There was nobody going in or out. And then God took me into one of the churches, showed me the incredible corruption going on and said this corruption, the nation is decaying within itself. That climate is here. The next part of that dream was a race to win as many souls as possible. And then the lights out scenario. We are so feeling some things. We'll be talking more about these things tomorrow. Keep your head in the heavens. Keep your eyes on the Word. Read the Bible today. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you some things. I'm Pastor Vince. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. And with that being said, you could listen right now to a live Omega Radio broadcast with roundtable discussion with Patricia Joy Xavier. That's happening right now. We'll see you tomorrow on Blog Talk Radio and on YouTube and on Facebook. Till we then, shalom.